to distinguish in their relevant dealings between the territory of the regime of Israel and the territories occupied since 1967. The protection granted to the Zionist regime settlements in the new legislation makes a nonsense of Britain's solemn UN commitments. The bill is being driven through the Commons as Rishi Sunak's morally and politically broken government enters its final month in office. Incredibly, Sunak has pressed ahead in the face of warnings from his own Foreign Office officials that the bill not only contradicts British foreign policy, but actually represents a propaganda gift for other people. As British reported, Foreign Office lawyers advised that a clause in the bill would significantly increase the risk of the UK being in breach of the commitments under UNSC Resolution 2334. In spite of this powerful and highly unusual warning, Sunak ignored this advice and pressed ahead with the bill. And his government is cynically using every trick in the book to push it through Parliament. There are deep problems with the government's management of the committee stage of the bill. As Arib Ola reported for Middle East Eye recently, not a single Palestinian has been invited to give evidence to Parliament. Not one, yet a raft of pro-Israeli voices were heard. The Times journalist Melanie Phillips was invited. In her powerful columns, she denies the existence of Islamophobia and is critical even of Jewish critics of the Zionist regime. Phillips has written that there are no good reasons to oppose the bill. In the committee, her views were heard with deep, indeed, sycophantic respect. George Howard, a Labour MP and the chair of the committee, thanked Phillips for her characteristically forthright responses, which have been very helpful. What a telling indication of where Keir Starmer's Labour now stands on Palestine. But no pro-Palestine columnist was brought into balance, Phillips. Why not? Here's another example of unfairness. Conservative friends of the Zionist regime gave evidence, but no balancing invitation for Conservative Friends of Palestine, chaired by former cabinet minister Saida Warsi. Again, why not? UK lawyers for the Zionist regime gave evidence, but no balancing invitation for lawyers for Palestinian human rights. Once again, why not? The Jewish Leadership Council gave evidence, but not the British Palestinian Committee, and so on. This fundamental bias became obvious at the very start of the committee stage recently. Committee members were required to make a declaration of interest as demanded by Commons rules. The revelations were astonishing. 7 of the 10 Conservative MPs on the 19-member committee said they had visited the occupied territories on trips organized by Conservative Friends of Israel. 6 of them revealed that they were personal friends of James Gard, executive director of Conservative Friends of Israel and one of the witnesses. 3 of the 7 Labour members of the committee said they had been on trips to the occupied territories organized by Labour Friends of Israel, among them George Howard, the chair of the committee. Just one MP, Labour's Kim Leadbeater, said she had been on a trip organized by the Council for Arab-British Understanding, which stands up for Palestinian human rights. Ever since Netanyahu re-emerged as Prime Minister of the fabricated regime of Israel last December, events inside the occupied territories, and especially the occupied West Bank, have taken a turn for the worse. Netanyahu has elevated Itamar Ben-Gvir from the status of the Palestinian-hating, far-right Kahanist politician to the position of Minister of National Security. By giving Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich control of the illegal West Bank settlements, Netanyahu has broken precedent and accelerated the annexation of the West Bank land. Settler violence has escalated in a terrifying way, and the vast expansion of settlement building is part of a systematic program to make a Palestinian state impossible. Meanwhile, Netanyahu himself has embarked on a program of judicial reform that threatens to dismantle democracy within the occupied territories itself. Yet, as the regime of Israel heads in this terrifying direction, the Sunak government promotes legislation that sends out the message that the Zionist regime can pursue its illegal settlements program with all the horrifying settler violence that goes with it, with total impunity. In the meantime, Wafa News Agency reported Zionist settlers recently attempt to seize a large area of Palestinian-owned lands in the area of Masafer Yatta, south of the occupied West Bank city of Al-Khalil, under the protection of the Zionist regime occupation forces. Anti-settlement activist Rateb Jabour said that dozens of settlers placed barbed wire around approximately 50 dunams belonging to Al-Hatalin and Zain families adjacent to the illegal Zionist settlement of Karmail in an attempt to seize it with the aim of expanding the settlement. The occupation forces had issued a plan to expand the said settlements at the expense of Palestinian lands located between Om al-Khair and Sadat al-Tala areas, specifically on the eastern side of the aforementioned settlement, while Masafer Yatta is subjected to a continuous attack by Zionist settlers to seize thousands of dunams from Palestinian citizens' lands.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, this is IRIB English Radio. I am Asma, and here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Recently we've been talking about the fear of losing dear ones and dear things, as in the people that we have the most of attachments, heartly attachments to them. and also the fear of losing our beauty, the things that we have invested too much of time and money on them, and the things that we feel like as if they define us, like our beauty, like our faith. So we know that as a moderner who lives in this modern world, we would feel this pressure every night, the pressure of overthinking about all of these fears. Is there any way to overcome it?
There are so many ways to overcome these fears. So first of all, we got to understand the root causes of our fears and explore how they are affecting our life. Recognize the irrational beliefs and thought patterns that are contributing to your fear. Accept that life is dynamic and losses are a natural part of life and human experience.
Even, you know, the psychologists who are the master of these inspirational words, when they get into a problem, when they feel entangled by the loss of a dear one or the loss of their beauty, they would get into dilemmas and problems. Some of them even get paranoid.
Well, it's very important to focus on what you can control yourself.
So how to control? Do you think there is any...
Yes, we should direct our energy to and our actions towards what is within our control. Like my mental being is completely within my control. I have to go for exercise. I can go. And my physical health, my mental health, I can focus on developing skills rather than just, you know, focusing on my beauty and just going through those painful injections. I should rather develop some skills and adapt to change. Change is a natural phenomenon of life. Reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. Contentment is very important. We have advised to go for contentment, to practice contentment, and trust His wisdom. Trust Allah's wisdom.
This
always
is the most
His
important
wisdom.
Part, I suppose.
Yeah.
We have to put our trust on Allah and make sure that whatever happens in the process is the thing that is the best for us.
Right. Meanwhile, we have to work on the triggers, the waswas that happens to us. Because
exactly.
Especially the fear of this beauty and all, it comes up from those triggers, that waswas we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the way out. He says, whenever you have waswas,
that
kind
is obsessive
of silkenness, that's why he says silkenness, it's continuously going on, and then you should, whether it's from the ants or from the jinn, like whether it's from the human beings or like there are some supernatural powers that are affecting you, that are making you feel like, you know, because it's shaitan always there too.
Yeah.
You should look more beautiful, you should express your beauty to the outside world and all. So it's like you have to work on this waswas, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, approach me.
Yeah.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You know, whenever you have this waswas, this trigger, you should approach me, seek rescue in me.
Like the compulsory disorder, when it happens, you just lose the control of everything. Actually, these kind of guys need a real mentor, not just by hearing to these things.
It's and very then, important to seek knowledge.
Exactly.
It's very important to seek knowledge.
And then the first point, I suppose, is to accept it.
Right.
Accept that there is a problem that you are in need of solving it. Because if not, then the consequences might be so dangerous. So let's keep it in here and go for a short break, and then we'll be back. Thank you for being with us. So yes, sometimes life gets very, you know, as in every night you just go through everything. What if this happened? What if that happens? What if this, and many things, you know? And then as we said that as women, we have this obsessive much of feeling and emotions that might get us into terrible. And we talked about some of these terribles, like one of them, one of these main branches of overthinking is the thought of the loss of important things and important people. So we talked about how to overcome it. And I guess we need to talk more about it. So right now, you're listening to Muslim Lady. Let's go to Sister Zainab and hear more of her.
Right. So we're talking about how to overcome the fear of losing beauty. Develop a positive self-image of yourself. Accept yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on cultivating a positive perception of your own self beyond your physical appearance. You know, look for the qualities you have. Look for the skills you have. Recognize them. Appreciate them. And look for the qualities you are having. Look for the achievements.
And just to put it in here right now, well, you know, if you do not value your character and personality, nobody would.
Yes. Even you don't expect anyone else to be valuing that.
Exactly.
So you have to value the real beauty. We already talked about what beauty means in Islam. We have already discussed a lot about that in this program.
And all of the beauty lays in your soul and in your personality.
And when you understand that real beauty concept, challenge the social, the societal beauty standards and norms.
Yeah.
You are the one. If you have, now you're knowledgeable, go and, you know, just challenge, question that. Question those norms, challenge those norms that promote unrealistic.
And don't get affected by them.
Yes, because those norms, that they promote unrealistic beauty standards. So you should actually promote yourself, surround yourself with the diverse representations of beauty, as we discussed what beauty means in Islam.
Exactly. So to value the beauty that we have from the inside and to just get engaged in some other activities and in some other things like seeking knowledge to improve myself, to promote my character and personality. So what more?
Practice self-care.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of your physical health, take care of your well-being. And there's not only just your face that should be looking very nice, or your, like, you should have that fatless belly. Of course you should have, but you should overall regard your physical health and be concerned about it. It's not just the appearance that is visible to the world.
Exactly.
It's you yourself. Appreciate
yourself.
You
must have a beautiful mind as well.
Right. Engage yourself in the activities that make you feel good, such as exercise, you know.
Yeah.
Eat a balanced diet. It's very important. Get enough rest, self-care, and, you know, boost your self-confidence. That could overall boost your well-being.
Exactly.
There's also one thing that women especially have to appreciate and accept, that is embrace aging.
Yeah.
You know, shift your perspective on aging. It's the world is lying to us. Social media is lying to us. Seriously.
Yeah.
Understand that aging is a natural process and a part of human experience. Embrace the wisdom and maturity and the personal growth that comes in with the age. You should
exactly.
be looking at what comes with age, the achievements I have, the skills I have developed, or whatever I have earned. So, you know, you have to shift your focus on certain things and things will be fine.
Yeah, when I just see these old women reading books, doing things by their own, and then go for shopping for themselves, I just envy them how knowledgeable they are to understand that, okay, this old age is also a part of my life. And I enjoy that as long as I can have new things, new ideas, and a new way of thinking, a new perspective. So this means too much for a person, specifically for a woman. So if you want to just forget about all the negativity of your overthinkings, I suppose you have to accept all the truths of life, like death is a part of it, like age, old age is a part of it, like wrinkles are a part of it, like many, many, many breaks and ups and downs are a part of your life. So just when you go through overthinking, think about the very fact that, first of all, life is not going to be eternal. It's something transitory. And one day after all, you're going to leave this world for good. You're going to enter another world which is going to last forever. And that is going to be your eternal house. So, and another point, just to say it right here before we go for the next break, I would say that try to work on yourself. The only thing that you can take with you to the other world is the great soul that you carry inside in your body. So the heart and the mind are very important. Try to nourish them with good ideas and with too much of knowledge. Okay, let's go for another break until we get for the last part of today's episode.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Dear listeners of Muslim Lady, welcome back. Well, this is the last part of today's episode. So far, we've been talking about the fear of losing many things, the thing that turns into a trauma and enchants us the night when we get to sleep, and that causes then the lack of sleep, the fact that I cannot sleep, the fact that I have too much of thinking in my thought, even in the morning without other people being able to understand what they are. So I have too much of worrying without anyone noticing that. Fear, all in all, as in speaking of the word itself, is it a bad thing or a good thing?
What is fear? It's a natural response that arises when we perceive a threat, when we have a potential loss. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this within us to serve as a protective mechanism, so we don't have to get paralyzed with it. This natural emotion helps us to alert ourselves towards the potential dangers and motivates us to take action and ensure our safety and well-being. Well, it's very important to know where to have this fear. If it's good, where to have this fear? If Allah had not gifted us with this emotion of fear, we would have not been able to use our intelligence to, you know, overcome many challenges in our lives. So it helps a person to act intelligently and within the framework of reason and also the framework of Sharia. You know, in many events, fear can be a sense of prosperity. If you really are, fearing the loss of beauty or the losing people or, you know, different things, you should rather use this emotion in a positive way. The basis of your prosperity is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
You know, it makes a human being a responsible person and does not allow you to be lazy. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Rahman, for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever they do, for them are gardens within gardens. So,
yeah, so
we
it's not
have
just
to fear
one heaven, it is
Jannatan, which technically means two gardens, but when we contemplate it, it means gardens within the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, also in the Surah Naziat, in verse number 40 and 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who were in a state of fear while standing before their Lord and restrained themselves from evil desires, paradise will certainly be their home. Imam Hussain alayhi salam also says that nobody on the day of judgment will be in aman, in peace, except for those who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In this world.
Yeah. So fear, you know, take this as
generally is not a bad thing.
Yes, but it's very important where to use it, where to let this emotion come in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he kept this within you, like, you know, some women say, I don't want to fear, lose beauty, but Allah kept this within me. So you have to use it at a proper place.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how you act in a fair way.
Yeah, to make the best of it at its own time. When you fear the loss of it, then when you have it, you'll protect it. And you'll thank God for it, actually. And you would never go for the evil thought. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, and how about listening to mind-stimulating aphorism from the Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him. To greet everyone you pass by, and to sit in a place other than the first row of a session are signs of modesty.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگیز
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن
by means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى و دین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن دوری از قرآن از قرآن
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran Quran Quran
کتاب الله
The US International Development Agency
Part 2
Can USAID measures be a cover-up for far more horrendous crimes? To quote the research center Global Research, the genocide of the people of Congo by Ugandan and Rwandan elements, with the full support and guidance of the US, has so far taken 6 million innocent lives. Even so, the US has covered up such crimes and denies any knowledge of them. America tells the people of the world it cannot determine how 6 million individuals just perished in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is while it was Washington itself that armed the criminals to the teeth. U.S. governments since the Second World War have supported and guided the most terrible massacres in various countries. America took on the organization and the financial and weapons support of the most terrible massacre since World War II, which is the massacre of the Democratic Republic of Congo. From 1996 till today, Washington has watered eastern Congo provinces with the blood of over 6 million people. Uganda and Rwanda take orders from their masters and weapons providers, meaning the U.S. and U.K. governments. Should the Nuremberg International Justice Law be properly practiced, the highest political figures in London and Washington would be convicted of the most heinous crimes.
When the United States lavishly supports Saudi Arabia, one of the most reactionary states in the world, is it supporting democracy? When the United States supports Israel in its crushing of Palestinian rights, is that supporting democracy? Actually, that's a clear case. The Arab world has had very few democratic elections, but there was one, a carefully monitored one, January 2006. There was an election in Palestine, carefully monitored, determined to be free and fair by international observers. As soon as the election results came in, the United States began to plan for a military coup to overthrow the elected government, imposed harsh sanctions. Israel moved in and same thing, sanctions, military attacks. Why? Because the wrong people won. The Hamas was the majority, the party that had the most votes and was running the government. Well, the U.S. and Israel weren't accepting that, so they immediately moved to overthrow and destroy the government. That's the one, probably the most free election in the Arab world outside of Lebanon, a couple of cases. But is that supporting democracy? Well, we can run through the list, and what you find is the United States has no objection to democracy if it comes out the way it wants. If it doesn't come out the way it wants, it's going to try to undermine and prevent it.
I, Samantha Power.
I, Samantha Power.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance.
And allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Whether Samantha Power has reacted to the Congo massacre or not, she has all the same been appointed head of an organization that claims philanthropy.
She saw you on the big screen. You were a role model.
In January 2021, Joe Biden introduced Power for chairmanship of USAID.
Thank you so much.
She won the seat with 68-26 votes on the 28th of April. Power took the position in the thick of USAID efforts to pay a great deal of foreign aid during the COVID-19 pandemic.
But I don't know that I've ever made a New Year's resolution as ambitious as end the economic oppression of women globally.
Choosing a female manager for an organization focusing its efforts most on empowering women in deprived countries is a matter on the side which at first sight may not come to notice as it should, and may just come across as an issue to do with the individual's capability in landing a good job. But studying USAID's report card shows this was no accidental choice.
One year on, life for women and girls is very different, with harsh rules including restrictions on education and employment.
But why women? Because women are important, and efforts on women's issues are not just feed for propaganda.
And a swiftly growing population that must be fed. How do we address global challenges in a rapidly changing world? By empowering women and girls.
And efforts on women's issues are not just feed for propaganda. The women in each society matter, because as stated before, any change in the women of a society means a change in that society's culture.
Cover more ground and last longer. And when women have control of resources, land, and markets, they can play a vital role in helping to feed a hungry planet. From climate change to extreme poverty, women are proving they're ready to transform the world. We cannot solve the world's problems without women, period.
If we ponder upon the long-term effects of such measures, we will notice sending Najla and Raja into a garage and smearing their faces with motor oil does not stop at the two sisters' lives, but is targeting all Muslim girls in a traditional society, redefining women's liberty to them in a way appealing to imperialism. It is true that infiltration as a process generally begins with military intervention. But intervening governments have long-term plans in different economic and cultural fields to grow roots in target countries. It is such that conditions move in the right direction for the people and governments of infiltrated countries to indirectly fulfill the meddling government's goal. When the women of a country view an organization such as USAID as their savior, their children will also do so. Just like Roma, the Bangladeshi mother, who transfers her view to her son. On the whole, one could say that the United States has drawn on its collective experience of influencing different parts of the world and spreading its hegemony to acquire a different approach, which helps it write a different tailored prescription for each country and culture that would win the minds of the native people. Of course, these prescriptions are not the answer always and everywhere. And sometimes, contrary to U.S. prediction and its efforts, the natives just go their own way.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, where we're going to speak about how do we avoid bad habits. So be with us.
Jalal.
Today, Thursday, is the 5th of Rabiul Awal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Shahrivar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of September, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And by this, we start our program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. We'll listen to verse 78 of chapter Al-Hud.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Waja'ahu qawmuhu yuhra'una ilayhi wa min qablu kanu ya'maluna as-sayyi'at. قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم فاتقوا الله ولا تخزون في ضيفي أليس منكم رجل رشيد.
And his people came hastening to him, and before this they had been doing evil deeds. He said, O my people, these are my daughters, they are purer for you. So fear Allah and do not disgrace me concerning my guests. Is there not among you a man of reason?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Sometimes the norms of human society degenerate to such an extent that people hasten towards committing sin, being seduced by their unruly lower selves. To prevent people from doing what is forbidden, we must at first open up and show the true path to them so that they do not seek pleasure by committing sins. The meaning of the term chastity is not isolation. On the contrary, it means purity in normal social intercourse. Considering sin as a commonplace matter does not exempt man from his responsibility in dissuading others from performing forbidden acts.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً نورت دربي شكراً شكراً يا ربي.
This is today's special. We're speaking about our habits. In this part, how do we avoid bad habits? There is a beautiful thought-provoking question of the Lord of the Worlds himself addressed to you in his book, chapter 82, verse 6. O man, what has deceived you about your generous Lord? What has estranged you from your generous, kind, merciful Lord? Ask yourself, what's the main thing standing in the way in my relationship with Allah, the Most High? For some, it is a habit of swearing. Or others, it might be shouting at the children or a habit of gossiping you keep on falling into. For some, it might be all. However, pick just one of them. The one you strongest feel is in the way of you feeling close to Allah. Then ask Allah the Most High from the bottom of your heart to help you battle this particular obstacle in your relationship with Him and turn it to an opportunity to bring you closer to Him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Have you ever tried so hard to break a bad habit? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, O Allah, you are forgiving and generous. You love to forgive. Essentially, we hope some of these tips that we have talked about can easily help us and form and change habits. But everyone is unique and different methods work for many people. The most important thing is that we take the time to identify our weakness, make constant effort to change it, and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's approach getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strengthening our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another way. So we have to attach ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not things of this dunya, especially those things that can impact your life, that can impact our life negatively, both in this life and the next. So once we said that we have to make dua and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rely and trust in Him, now we say that we have to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get rid of those bad habits. We have to humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent for our sins and ask Him to guide us on the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran chapter 6, "And when those who come to you who believe in our verses say, 'Peace be upon you, your Lord has decreed upon Himself mercy,' that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repents after that and corrects himself, indeed he is forgiving and merciful." And this closeness to Him that will help us to nurture a hatred towards the things He hates and a love for the things He loves, therefore making it easier to abandon our bad habits.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
And one question is here, which friend can help me? Help you, what for? This is one question to ask ourselves to break a bad habit. Choose a friend or relative to support you by telling him or her you are trying to break a certain habit and to remind you of your reasons to stop when you need it, or find someone who wants to break the same habit and be accountability patterns. At the same time, learn how to say no to people if they are involved in your bad habit and maybe a trigger. Can I visualize myself breaking this habit? Imagine you are in your triggering situation and how you would usually react, and then visualize yourself breaking your habit by reacting differently. If you're seeing things in your mind, it gets your brain more familiar with the desired situation, so you are more prepared for when the situation or trigger happens in reality. This is today's special. One question we have here, how to build our good habits. This is the question too. Be patient. This is one answer too. After exerting much effort, you may sometimes experience a day where we just don't feel like it. It's okay to fall back sometimes. Occasional slips do not make us a failure. We are just human. What matters is we acknowledge that there are days we need to take a break and start again tomorrow. Avoid having a rigid timeline. Some people may differ. This may amount to unnecessary anxiety and will make you feel more like a failure when you don't meet the goal, and the tendency to give it up may be too overwhelming. Remembering, change is not a destination, it is a journey. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 153, indeed Allah is with those who are patient. Changing needs a lot of patience. It definitely involves struggles and challenges.
Another form of addiction that some people have is addiction to pornography. So this addiction might not harm your physical health. But it can ruin your life, especially if you're married. It can ruin your love life. Even if you're not married, in the future you will be married. This sort of addiction can stick with a person for several years. If you're single, you might think, what's the big deal? But when you're married, it could destroy your marriage. This sort of addiction, being addicted to pornography, it could make you unsatisfied with your spouse. You will not be satisfied. It could lead to negative sexual behaviors. And it could ultimately cause unhappiness for you. It could even cause depression for you. It might not kill you. It might not cause great physical harm for you, but it can take a negative toll on you and on your marriage life. Another form of addiction is gambling. And this is also common in some communities, especially if there's casinos or there's underground casinos. Some people who have financial difficulties and problems, they think they could fix those problems by going into gambling, making easy money. The problem with gambling is that, and this is the addictive part, is that you make easy money once, twice. You haven't spent much. All of a sudden, you've won $1,000, $10,000, $20,000, while you would have to work an entire year or 4 months, 5 months, 6 months to earn that money. It comes to you in an instant. And that's where the addiction grows. You want that easy money again and again and again. But the problem with gambling is that you win once, you lose 20 times. You win $10,000, but you lose $100,000. And you go into debt.
Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic about good habits and bad habits. So follow us. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami. محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran's president warns that any relationship between regional countries and Israel would be a stab in the back of Palestinians. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad begins his first official visit to China in almost two decades, a trip Beijing says will push ties to a new level. And Russia says it has destroyed 19 Ukrainian drones above